Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Hey, 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 Morgan, how's it going over there?
Hey, I'm just coming off of spring break, so it's going, except tomorrow is work again. So here we are.
We're going to do our best to support you because we know what it's like. You're no longer alone in this.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
I know, I was ready to, I don't know what, you were sending me the cutest pictures of you out on the water, like having the time of your life, while I was lying in a hospital bed covered in vomit and God knows what else. So you and I had two very different spring breaks.
I know. And it's totally like me to send you like a picture being like, hey, look how fabulous this is. And you're like, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, what?
I'm in the hospital.
What?
Get out of here.
That is look how much fun I'm having.
The yin and yang of this show. That's why you guys love us, right? One of us is, it's like brings us back to the days when Morgan had to pump her own gas.
Can you imagine?
I mean,
who does that?
Horrible.
Who does that?
Horrible. So for those of you who don't follow me, Andrea, personally on social media, I was the lucky recipient of a hysterectomy about 2 weeks ago. And then I was even luckier that only me, honestly, this would only happen to me, less than a week out of recovery from the hysterectomy, I catch some virus and I'm back in the hospital because I am vomiting my life out and can't keep it together. So, and that is definitely what I'm not obsessed with. So just wait, there'll be an obsessed segment over something positive, not over that, but oh,
awful. But do you remember what I said to you when I saw the picture? Because we traded pictures. I said, oh, look at me. I'm, you know, on a boat in the middle of this gorgeous ocean. And she's like, well, I'm in a hospital. I'm like, oh my gosh. But what I said to her is she sent me a picture of herself laying in the hospital bed. And what I said was, oh my gosh, why does your skin look so fabulous? It's glowing. I mean, it literally did, which reminds me of the episode we did where you talked about your Asian skincare that
my
no one's
Korean
heard of.
Skincare.
Yes.
It's so funny. I said, Morgan, that is so funny that you're commenting on my skin, because literally like people in the hospital were saying the same thing. They're like, you might feel terrible, but girl, you look good.
I'm that like, vomit just really did it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So I have to say though, I never get sappy on this show, but for today's Obsessed.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with. Let me just say that I am obsessed with my friends, because when you go through something like this, you really see like the people in your world who go out of their way to let you know that, you know, they're thinking about you, whether it was girlfriends who drove my kids to school or people like just sending messages. Morgan, one of the, Jamie, who helps us with, you know, our marketing, sent me a beautiful arrangement of flowers. Morgan sent me DoorDash money. Like, everyone jumped in. And for me, you know, we both live here in Chicago and I don't have family here. So when you go through something like a major surgery, you're like a little bit like, oh my God, like I'm just out here on an island. And it was really, really nice to have so many people jump in and help. So that's all I'm obsessed with, because can I tell you how badly I want this virus to be out of my system and the healing process to be like, come on, speed it up, people. Mm-hmm. We got work to do. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Ugh. No. Ugh. No, I'm glad you're moving forward. But I love that obsessed thing, because I think a lot of people, probably our listeners too, feel the same way you do. It's, you know, when you're going through something hard, it is interesting to see who shows up and how they show up.
Well, and I think it's funny because it's actually tied to the theme of our show today, which is all about support, but for men. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that women, I think it's easier for a woman to say, I need help, right? It's hard for me, but I think for most women, it's easy to say, I need help. But we know that for men, it's really hard to admit that they need help. And so today we're talking to somebody who runs a virtual support group that's just for men going through divorce and separation. So we're going to learn a lot about what kind of support is available to our male listeners out there and things you can do to help yourself.
That's right. And if you're a female just listening in, don't worry. This could be interesting for you as well, because even though we're talking to Mike Rosen, who runs a male support group, there are similar female groups and probably a lot more out there for females that may have the same kind of support that we're going to talk about tonight. So feel free to continue to tune in. And I think you could get something out of this, even if you're not a male.
And let's say you're almost towards the end of your divorce process and you're thinking, hey, I think I'm ready to date again. Well, this would be a really good episode to listen to gain some insight on what maybe some of the men that you might be going out with are experiencing. So you can be sensitive to what they're going through, what they're struggling with, because we know, even though they tell you don't start dating until you're fully ready and healed, that doesn't happen. Everyone gets out there and dates, even when they're still like falling apart. So there's something in this episode for everybody. You could even recommend that your soon-to-be ex listens to this episode, because helping your soon-to-be ex will also help you and your kids. So with that, I think we are ready to start our chat with Mike Rosen. So the roller coaster of feelings and thoughts that go along with a divorce is not unique to just women. Surprise, surprise. Men suffer just as much, and it's often more challenging for men to find support.
It's kind of interesting you say that, Andrea, because my experience legally, you know, my clientele is pretty much 50% men, 50% women. That's just kind of how it falls for me. Mm-hmm. So I get to see both sides of it. And I think it is so unique because women are more open about sometimes what they need, and they're more open to seek out additional help, whereas men sometimes are a little bit more hesitant. And although I do have many male clients who are in therapy, and I know that in the show, we always preach, you know, a good therapist going through anything like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've had one male client that has told me that they're in a divorce support group, which is so unfortunate given the fact that a support group with other people that are going through similar experiences that with neutral leaders mm-hmm. would be so helpful to some of these times.
Yeah. And I think that there's obviously some kind of disconnect there, right? And that's why I'm glad that we are talking to who we're talking to today to help those listeners who are kind of on the fence about this, hopefully cross over and get some support and help. So today on our show, we are talking to Mike Rosen. Mike runs a virtual support group for men going through a divorce or separation. So hello, Mike. Welcome.
Hi.
How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Hi, Andrea. Hi, Morgan. How are you two?
We're good. We're excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to be here and share.
So, Mike, let me just jump right in. Were you a member of this group yourself before you started facilitating these types of virtual meetings?
The short answer is no. And it would, I think it'd be helpful to understand how, like really just like where I'm coming from and this support, this separation and divorce call that I facilitate is just one of many offerings from a Elmhurst, Illinois originated nonprofit group called Men Living. And that's an organization that's been around since 2012. I have been a part of that organization since then, but it was only until March, early 2020, kind of right around the time COVID hit, where this very specific separation and divorce call originated. Mm-hmm. So no and yes as well.
Okay, so before we jump into more questions, give us the background on what exactly this group is and how it works.
Sure. So, and to do that, again, I'll have to just back up half a step and explain what Men Living is about and then how this call fits in. So Men Living, again, a not-for-profit organization whose vision is a world of healthy, connected men. That's it. And one of the ways we do that or attempt to do that is by creating spaces where men can connect, heal, and thrive. So in any given week, in any given month, there's a whole variety of offerings that Men Living provides. One of them is this Tuesday night separation and divorce call, specifically for men who are touched by separation or divorce. So it's just part of the lineup, and it's been a part of the weekly lineup, again, since February or March of 2020.
Got it. And I'm assuming that you've obviously been through this process yourself, which has prompted you to want to host these calls. Am I right?
Absolutely. So I separated from my wife of 14 years in 2017. Mm-hmm. And we were officially divorced in 2019. And it wasn't really until that time, February, March of 2020, where I was in my own personal position of healing, where I felt like I could offer help and offer support. I think really any time prior to that, personally, I just wasn't ready to do mm-hmm. that. And I evolved and grew and healed to a position where I thought, and a couple other guys within Men Living said, you know what, this could be a really valuable thing for men. And it fits well into what we're trying to do as an organization. And it's a way, so I've been doing it essentially every Tuesday night since then. And it's just a way that I want to help and can help. And again, think that I'm in a position where I've come through the process and it was awful. And I feel like I've grown and evolved to the point where I can now then offer some help and support and for other men who are, again, touched by it.
So backing up for a minute, because that's kind of the theme of tonight, which is, you know, one of the questions I have and what I see a lot with my clients is, and Andrea and I've kind of touched on this in general, so I want to know if this is something you offer. So, you know, you may have a listener out there that's like, well, I'm not really that messed up. I'm just, you know, sad, or I'm just going through a new part of my life. But what I see a lot of times is a lot of people feel really lonely during this process. And sometimes it's hard to identify, but a lot of times the loneliness comes from, you know, kind of separating friend groups, starting over, losing the friend group that was maybe with their spouse, et cetera. So would, you know, if they're saying, if the listener's thinking, well, I'm not that messed up, I don't know if I want to jump into, you know, kind of this Tuesday night, you know, support group, but kind of sounds like Men Living could be just a place to meet other guys that are, could be friends. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but like, are there dating apps for friends these days? There's not. So is that something they could do through you?
Absolutely. And again, so, and I encourage the men who I see only on Tuesdays to check out all the other stuff. It's a group of like-minded men, and it's global now. We have guys who call in and join our meetings from Britain, from South America, from India, from Australia. It's mind-boggling to me that this global pandemic that we had, sort of one of the offsprings of it was just our capability to connect globally. So it used to be where we met in Todd's living room in Elmhurst, and there were four of us. And it was weird, right? Because we're all just sitting there and like staring at each other, being like, whoa, this is awkward. But now, like, there's just this, we have this capability now to reach out, again, globally, to any man who is willing to take the risk by clicking the link, not knowing entirely what's on the other side. So I work hard to honor the men who have come and said, hey, I know it's hard to say, yeah, maybe I need help. Maybe I need some additional support, or I'm looking for a friend. Like it takes a lot of courage for
it
men,
does.
Anybody to say that. To answer your question more directly, yes, all the Men Living offerings are of a similar inclusive, genuine, open nature. And then the Tuesday call touches that specific.
So let's talk about the Tuesday call. So It's Tuesday night, whatever time the call starts, all the men from all over the world jump on. And then what happens? Do you lead them in some sort of prayer with bongo drums? And are you waving sage around? Like what goes on, and what's the feel?
Well, it's the sage first, then it's the kumbaya.
Oh, that makes
then
sense.
Then the bongos, right?
Right, you so always got to sage.
Free, but yeah. The order is important. No.
Yes. And then you have to end with the ayahuasca, right?
Exactly. See, that's the most fun part. We reserve the last 15 minutes for that. No. It's a great question, Andrea. And it's important for me to help all the listeners understand that there's no angle to this. There's no religious aspect to it. There's no like overtly spiritual aspect to it. We're not trying to do anything other than connect with men. And so as a Zoom call launches, we'll take a minute to check in and just say, hey, I'm Mike, I'm checking in from LaGrange. And we'll just go around the room. And you know, some weeks there are two guys on, some weeks there are 10 guys on. It just depends. And so each time when 7 p.m. Central rolls around and I click, all right, here we go, I feel like a quarterback who is like broken the huddle and like everybody's clapped and like I'm looking at the defense. I don't really know what's coming. And so I've honed my skill as a facilitator to decipher the room and to read the room and well, who do I have? What do I have going on? Who is brand new? Who do I know? So we all just do a real quick check-in that way. And then we go back around the room and say, hey, where are you in, just kind of on a scale of 0 to 10, where 10 being like, I am in crisis mode and I am barely hanging on, to 0, I'm feeling good and I'm like sipping a drink in a hammock, like things are good. And just depending on that, that's where I'll direct some of the initial attention towards, just checking in with these guys who have something hot and something's bubbling. I want to make sure that we talk to them. If everybody seems to be doing okay, or there are 3 or 4 of us in the room, then we just kind of break up the hour to let the conversation flow as organically and naturally as any other conversation would when 4 people get together and are talking about their divorce.
Is there advice that's given, or is
not
it
just sharing?
Okay.
And so that's another great question, Andrea. The intent of the call is simply to hold space and for men to share and to be acknowledged and to be seen. I teach 4th grade. I am not a counselor. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a priest. I'm not a rabbi. But I'm a guy who's been through the process and come out the other side and recognize that sometimes just talking about it is tremendously helpful. Just the physical act of sharing can be so healing and can move somebody forward, even if it's just a tiny little step, even if it just sort of, you know, I use the analogy where like separation and divorce feels like a rainstorm to me, like felt like a rainstorm, like always pouring. And this call is just an umbrella. It alleviates some of it for just a little bit. I mean, it doesn't make it stop raining. It doesn't make it go away, but it just sort of eases the discomfort of it. Or the intent and my hope is that it eases the discomfort of it just for an hour, just for a little bit. So
at the, you know, if the call is productive, let's just say we've got a new guy that jumps on and the call is productive, are they going to get contact information, like if they connect really well with you or with some other person, or is it more like we'll just see you next Tuesday night? How does that work? What's the follow-up look like?
There's a couple of different ways we do that. And as you were asking me that question, there's also a part of that checking in process is I get a show of hands just to make sure that a confidentiality thing, just to make sure that right. what we talk about on the call stays on the call. And I can share my experience and my feelings about the call with someone else out of the call. But the intent is to just, again, have a space that is where someone feels safe and is trusted. So part of the follow-up is I also, again, invite them to the other Men Living offerings. We use a Marco Polo channel. You know, Marco Polo is like a video text chat thing just mm-hmm. on our phones. So that's a way to connect. I also offer them my cell phone number. And I say, you know, I'll do my best to support you in the way that I'm able. And that part of it is the acknowledgement that as emotional and cyclical as the separation and divorce process was for me, and I think can be for other people, there's oftentimes a need beyond 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Tuesdays. And so mm-hmm. the intent is to be able to share, to be able to just reach out to a community, a group of men who understand and can relate and say, hey, I'm just having a hard time. It's like a shitty day. And like, I didn't see it coming. If there's somebody around who can just give me a buzz or just, hey, I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. Just there are other ways that we do that. Men Living has a Discord channel. That term was brand new to me like 6 months ago. I didn't even know what that was. Like my teenage boys know what Discord is. But there's a Discord channel. There's also another, it's called Men Living Connect. It's just another feature of the Men Living offerings, which is a way to find friends. It's kind of like a dating app that we created to connect us with other guys. And so
okay, let me play devil's advocate for 1 second, because here's what's going through my head. watch out
buckle up.
Okay, devil's advocate, because my mind always goes to the worst place it can't go. So if I'm a listener and I'm like, yeah, sounds great, Mike, I'm gonna think about joining this, but I'm just afraid that I'm gonna get on and I'm gonna hear essentially 10 other guys just bitching nonstop about their divorce, and it's going to spiral me into this horrible place. I mean, does that happen, or do you talk people off the ledge? Like, how does that work? I mean, I could see that almost making things worse at times.
Yeah, I can appreciate that perspective. And there's always that risk. That's my job as a facilitator to prevent that and to create an environment where we're really practicing reflective listening, it's a balance between allowing somebody to share and allowing somebody to vent, and keeping it a non-judgmental place where we're just not going, where we're like, yeah, you know what, you're right, like she sucks, you know. We make no claim to have answers to problems and really work hard at not offer advice unless somebody asks for it. And the same way, there are some men who are angry and hurt, mm-hmm. and it's a place where they can let it out. And it's okay. It's okay to be angry and it's okay to be hurt. I'm not going to try and unpack that. I'm not going to try and fix their anger. I can listen and nod my head and say, yeah, that sounds really hard. And yeah, that sounds
really hard. It's kind of great that you have an outlet I mean, after I played devil's advocate with you, I'm going to, you know, throw you a bone here, which is, you know, it's nice to have an outlet, because Andrea and I always say, try, if you don't have a lot of money to spend on lawyers, don't use your lawyer as a therapist. And this is a great place that if you don't have a therapist, or maybe you do, but you just need even more support. It's shocking when sometimes you just get your anger or your frustration out, how much better you feel. And I'm kind of getting that sense from you that maybe some of these calls, you know, do that for people, which is huge.
Yeah. And like, I'm going to take a, like a super selfish track right now. I don't always know that I'm doing a good job. Like I'm always questioning my own just effectiveness and whether or not, cause I'm just a guy. I'm just like a middle-aged suburban guy who doesn't know what he's doing. And so towards the end, when I say, hey, Dan, what does support look like to you? And Dan says, you know what? This is all I needed. This is exactly what I needed. I'm like, oh gosh, yes. Then that's what keeps me coming back. And that makes me feel like I'm contributing to like a slightly better world by helping somebody just move forward incrementally. So a lot of times it's just that. It's just precisely what you just described, Morgan. It's the space to be able to do that in a non-judgmental way.
A few things that I think it's important for us to mention at this point. Number one, this group is free, correct? Mm-hmm. So there is no charge for somebody to participate, right?
Yeah, correct. Except there is a CBD oil subscription, monthly subscription. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, cut this guy off. We need to erase that.
Total non-for-profit. There are ways you can contribute if you think it's valuable and you want to do that, but there's never a charge.
If there's somebody, if there's someone who's interested, but they're not quite ready to share, do you have like, are there ever men who are like, you know what, do you mind if I just listen in on this call, but I'm not quite ready to pour out my heart to you strangers?
Absolutely. There was a guy a couple of weeks ago who was like, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, because you can RSVP by the website. He's like, I'm not sure. Like, what am I going to get? Like, this feels like Scientology or something.
Right.
Had it a couple times. And we're going to use your phrase earlier. I kind of talked him off the ledge. I just sort of eased his discomfort about complete unknown. I mean, if I didn't know what I was doing, I'd be like, what what am I going to get when I click on this link, when I click join, like what's coming at me? So absolutely, there are some guys who, I'm thinking of a guy I know through these calls, he's in DC, and he might say four words in the course of any given hour. And that's cool, that's fine. Yeah. It does. There's no right or wrong in this. There's no right way to do it. You know, we work hard in encouraging everybody who's on the call to practice reflective listening and not necessarily, I think there's a universal instinct for men to fix it. My job as a facilitator is to prevent that from happening, to keep all the other guys on the call from fixing the other guys' problems or perceived issues. Like, I'll solve it. Here's what you need to do. So it's my job to manage that and to navigate the men who are on the call through that and help them understand that. Again, we're not just, this isn't the Shell answer man here, but we're trying to support each other.
I really would like to know if you could give us just the listeners who are like, this is so interesting to me and I have no idea what to expect on something on a call like this. What are some of the common topics that come up over and over again that you're like, okay, let's go here again?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's important to understand, or I guess I'd answer it by saying it's not intended to be a topic-centric call, though there are, to your point, several topics that do come up regularly. And one of them is practicing curiosity. Another one is compassion, trying to nurture and cultivate our own self-compassion. Then like a third is holding space, not only for me and allowing me to feel whatever it is I'm feeling, but the other person involved as well. The practice of allowing their ex or their soon to be ex to experience this process entirely themselves as well. And to give them that space allows them, allows me to recognize that their feelings and experiences are as valid as my experiences and my feelings, and to be able to separate those things too, and to see it as something wholly separate, is a practice that I think is helpful in terms of moving through it.
Okay.
So one of the things that I see with my clients, especially the male clients, and I should say more specifically the male clients, is, you know, I feel like there's these misconceptions, or maybe it's just societal, you know, norms out there, which is just kind of unfortunate from my perspective for men. So I get a lot of times where I think my male clients feel like, well, I'm a man, I shouldn't feel this way, or I shouldn't ask for help, or I shouldn't, you know, reach out. I don't need it. I'll just get through it. Yeah, it sucks, but like, man up. So I get that a lot. Sometimes people, men who are going through this, especially the ones who have children, are just basically like, you know what, I'm just going to get through it. And what I'm going to do is, the way I'm going to get through it is, I'm just going to put my entire, you know, being into my children, which sounds lovely and wonderful. But at the end of the day, that's not supporting you and your process. So I want to know from you, from what you've seen on your calls, what are some of the misconceptions about what men feel when they're going through a divorce?
That's a great question. And I think you touched on several of them. Is, and then I think the most common one, or the most prolific one, unfortunately, is that I, as a man, should have the answers, and I should be able to know what to do, and I should be able to, because I'm a strong, successful man, I should be able to do it easily and without anybody's help. And I'm not gonna acknowledge the hard stuff, or that I may not know the answers, or that I'm uncertain, or that I'm scared, and that I'm in pain, and that nobody in my circle, I think, wants to hear about it. So I'm just gonna double down and be as stoic and as stubborn as possible. And I don't need this call. I don't need Mike's call. I don't need Men Living. I don't need anybody's help. I've got this. Because if I show anything other than that, then I'm just a little less than. I'm weak, or I'm just not smart enough to be able to figure these things out. And all those things are wildly inaccurate in my judgment. And I think if any listener who knows a man who may benefit, like, just click the link. Yeah. It's just you don't have to do it alone. And that's a thing too. We get guys to say, you know what, I don't have any close friends, or I can't share this with my dad, or I can't share this with my brother, or, you know, I work remotely, so I don't really have coworkers. Once they jump on a call, this community of men like to remind them, like, dude, you're never alone. You're no longer alone in this, and it's still up to you to show up, but we're going to do our best to support you because we know what it's like.
Two things that came to my mind that I want to share, that I've taught the men that I've spoken to have gone through this. I think a lot of them feel like, yeah, I'll do that support group when all of this is done. But when I'm going through war, I need to have on my suit of armor, and I have to just get through this. And they think that there is another misconception of, if I let my guard down on a Tuesday night, what if I can't put that back up? And then I've got to go walk into mediation with her, and then what's going to happen? You know, I think that there's a little bit of that. And then the other thing that I see a lot is men having a hard time talking about the social and cultural changes that go on in their lives when they get a divorce. And again, I think it's something that they feel like women naturally have, like, a built-in group of people, you know, like, whatever we do, you know, especially if it's stuff that's surrounded by the kids, you know, oh, she drives all the kids to soccer practice, or she does this and she does that. So she's got her mom friends built in. And then the dad, or the man, is kind of like left on his own, and they just stay there. So do you have men who struggle with either one of those things that I mentioned?
My there are men on the call who struggle with every aspect of it. And as you were talking, I was thinking about how it feels to me in my experience in talking to dozens and dozens of men over these years is when the separation and divorce process starts, and then somebody and when it ends, and I know there's no like real end to it, I guess, but when someone's at a point where they felt like they're healing and moving forward, the process will take place at some point. It's not linear. It can be linear, but the longer that I ignore it or set it aside because I'm in battle and I've got my mask on and I'm manning up and like to hell with the world because I'm going to win this, the price will be paid at some point. Yeah. I feel like it's analogous to almost like marathon training. Like there's no shortcut to it. And at some point, the price will be paid. And it's either going to be in between the beginning and the end, or it's going to be at some point down the road and it's going to come out sideways. And we're going to need your therapist's help even more to unpack it because you're going to be doing, again, damage to somebody. Right. So
yeah, likely when you're in another relationship, I would
right.
say. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was joking only because I'm just coming off of spring break and my children were gone with their mom for a little bit. And so I had some time without children and I was with some friends. I'm like, I've never encouraged anybody to get divorced because of that. Like but that can be a nice product of it. And it's similar just to like our own evolution, my own evolution. I can look at this as an opportunity to grow and to heal and understand myself better and how I got to where I was or not.
Yeah,
and the invitation and the encouragement, especially around men living as a whole, is to say, hey, now's an awesome time to try and figure out who I am and just to come to understand a little bit better of who I am, what makes me tick, why and how I got to where I was, what were my blind spots, what am I seeing, what are these patterns that are either healthy or unhealthy. There's an opportunity to kind of do a control alt delete and come to understand if I'm willing to do the work and if I'm willing to lower my mask and if I'm willing to demonstrate a little bit of vulnerability and trust in some other people outside of my own little insular world.
So Mike, one thing you said that I could not agree with more, I always feel so, awful watching some of my male clients who I know are struggling, but they're too tough to say it. Some of them, I just come right through the front door and I say, listen, we need to get a hold of this, but others are more quiet. And that's just a male trait, I think, about, being honest sometimes with where you're at. But what I hate to see it, and I see a lot of women kind of moving on quicker, moving forward quicker than men, because exactly that, they're not getting the help or the support they need. So let's just say we get the divorce done and then they're still struggling a year or 2 years down the road. And they could be bringing those horrible things that they're dealing with into that next relationship and not giving that a real shot. So if you're a male out there listening, you may want to think about that. We don't want to prolong any sadness or healing or anything like that. So it's something to think about. But let me just jump into the next question.
Can I tack one thing onto that?
Please.
It requires intention. It doesn't just happen. And it's so important to just know that there are other men out there who've been through this and it can be really helpful, but it does take an effort and it does take an intention. And there's a whole community of men who are there to help. That's it. So,
yep. And I liken it to your marathon, kind of analogy, which is you can cut corners all you want. You're not getting through. If you're a normal human, you're not getting through that marathon, right? Could be, laying on the side of the road if you try to cut corners. It's the same thing here. So just, if you're listening, there's no judgment. It's just how it is. And let's get you the help you need. But beyond joining your group, if you could give some of our listeners 3 action steps, because we love our action steps here, that they could take in this to help themselves mentally and emotionally during their divorce, what would those steps be?
That's a really good question. The first one, and I think the most important one, is talk to somebody, anybody about it. I think, at least, and again, I'll speak from my own experience, I lied straight through my teeth when people asked me how I was doing through my process, so like through my separation and divorce. I would always answer, no, I'm good. I didn't talk to my two brothers about it. I didn't talk to my dad about it. I didn't talk to my friends about it. There was so much guilt and shame. So talk to somebody about it, whether it's somebody at Men Living or, and truly talk about it, like lower the guard and say, I'm struggling and this is hard.
And you know, Mike, one thing about that, it's sometimes easier to talk to somebody you don't know about things. It's, and we always, Andrea and I always joke, it's, you know, you want to be really specific with who you open up to, and you don't want to overshare, and you don't want to be at a bar opening up, but it's so much easier at times to talk to somebody who doesn't know you and doesn't know your ex.
Absolutely. And I think that's an aspect of the Men Living offering that provides that, where it's somebody who doesn't know the history, who doesn't have judgment because you're married to my sister, right. Or whatever that it might be. It's a community of men who get it. Like, I get it. I understand. And I'm going to listen in a non-judgmental way. So just let it out. And it's going to feel better when you do.
I think another benefit of talking to somebody who you're not so close with is that they're less likely to want to fix it. Your brother, your father, your friend, they want to fix it because their brother, their son, their pal's suffering, right? So they're like, all right, what are we going to do? And that's exactly what you don't need. You don't need your drunk brother to swoop in and try to fix your life, right? It's probably not going to work.
I'm chuckling as you say that, Andrea, because there have been guys on the call who are like, yeah, my brother told me like, we just need to go to Vegas and get hammered. Be like, I'm like, no, that's like, what are you doing? Like, that's no, like, that's
not, no, you've all seen The Hangover. We don't need that. That's not going to help anybody.
I'm pretty sure my dad won't be listening, but when I told my dad that the boy's mom and I were struggling and we're having some stuff, his advice to me, it was one of the first real man-to-man talks we ever had just because of our own stuff. He's like, well, you need to fix it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, no, you need to fix it. I'm like, that's your advice? He's like, yeah, fix it. I'm like, okay, that's awesome, Dad. Thanks so much. That's really, I just needed someone to just tell me to fix it. And now.
Super simple.
Yeah, that was awesome. So.
Man.
Yeah, well, I think talking to somebody is just so critical and important to also feel like you're just not alone.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so what's step number two? Did you already say it? Did I miss it?
I don't think I said it. And, okay. And as I think part of it is it's an action step that is not necessarily a physical one, but my experiences was acknowledging and understanding how cyclical the emotional ride is and being in, it's like spending time at every spot, the easy days, the hard days. I mean, some days, like I forgot that I was going through a divorce, just like whatever reason, like, I don't know, like it just wasn't there. Some days it felt like I got like sidelined by like a fucking linebacker and I'm on my knees crying, and that's okay. So part of that is just understanding that it isn't like the more stubborn I am and the more like I wish it to be easier, it isn't going to be. I don't think it's going to be. And I think just acknowledging every moment of the process minimizes the suffering. It's still hard, but it minimizes the strain against the process. And I feel like it's a natural tendency for us to resist the process. And I think acknowledging and letting our guard down, letting my guard down, allowing the process to unfold, makes it less hard.
But still hard. As humans, we don't want to suffer. And as humans, we also want healing to be linear, and it's not. And that is something that, you know, anyone listening to this show, they're going to hear the three of us say this and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I'm going to make this better. And I think that's one of the hard things about going through a divorce. Actually, I can relate this to what I'm going through right now, because as I told you, Mike, earlier, and Morgan and I were chatting, I'm recovering from a surgery. And even healing from something like that is not linear. You want it to be like every day you get a little bit better and a little bit better, and here we go. And then all of a sudden you have a day where you're like, what the fuck was that? I thought we were getting better. And it's so hard when you're going through something like a divorce, where, and Morgan, God, I'm sure you see this all the time, where clients are like, I'm so frustrated because last week was such a good week. I didn't cry. I wasn't in this place. And now here I am. I can't peel myself off the bathroom floor. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. And it, to your point, that healing from surgical procedure, that analogy, I think, is so apt and fits so well, because I want it to be linear. I want to feel that incremental progress. I want to know that if yesterday was a good day, well, then certainly today will be slightly better, won't it? Nope. And that is one of the hardest things. And one of the things I just try to help guys who are brand new in the process and have come to the Tuesday call and say, hey, this is going to punch you in ways that you can't even fathom and that you will never see coming, that blindsided ways where, and especially with children, like the unweaving of those dynamics and those relationships are almost impossible for me to articulate effectively to prepare for them. I don't think I could prepare for them. I don't think anybody can prepare for how those things show up and how they impact people differently. Even though we're all touched by separation and divorce, all our narratives are different. And so that's a challenge as well, is to try and keep it like within that umbrella, but also knowing that by the very nature of us being individuals, my story is different than yours, which is different than his, which is different right. than everybody else's.
Yeah. I think that this is just so many reasons why groups like what you are hosting are so important. Okay. What's this third action step?
The third action step. And again, it's even, I feel like it's an action step with like a lowercase a though action step, but just be patient. It's understanding that this process and the healing comes with time and work as well. Again, it requires effort. It doesn't just happen. These things just don't fall into my lap. It requires work, and the way to get through it is to work through it, and to, if a man accepts the invitation to jump on and to try and evolve and to try and grow and to try and heal, it's going to take time. There's no magic to it. Again, very analogous to marathon training. It doesn't just happen, and it's not going to be a week. This is going to take time, and it's going to take work if that's what he wants to do. Yeah. So it's like an action, but it's like, yeah, like it's almost like an inaction step. Be patient, because the process isn't as
it's the quick. Best kind of action step, because you don't really have to do much, right?
Other than just understand. And I think that's where my role as the facilitator of this call, it can be helpful, is to say, hey, yeah, I know it'd be awesome if I could just, here's your answer. And because I think that's a lot of us, I mean, it's like Amazon 2-day Prime delivery. Like, I'm like annoyed when things aren't here in 2 days, and I'm have to work to understand that, like, okay, that's not life. Like, in this, certainly in this context, it's just not how it works. I think if it's being done healthily and with intention, it just doesn't, there's no magic to this.
I agree, Mike. And we are so glad that you came on our show today. Let's make sure that all of our male listeners know exactly where to go to find information and sign up for this support group on Tuesday evenings.
The best place is menliving.org. There's a newsletter links, there's Discord links, there's the calendar for, and we have in-person meetings too. Again, being Elmhurst originated, there's meetings where guys get together and not specifically for separation divorce, but like the larger meetings. So there's just so much there that is just helping men try to connect and heal and thrive.
And where do they go to find exactly on that website, the Tuesday night link?
It's under the programs and activities. So there's a calendar there. And just like, again, a literal calendar that shows everything for the month. And on Tuesdays, you click it and you can RSVP. And then that it'll email you the Zoom link. And then that's it. All you have to do is show up.
I mean, how do you beat it? You show up and it's free. I mean, this is great. So for our listeners, it just takes one step. That's it. And here's the thing. Mike even said it. You can show up, say you're Bob from, you know, Toronto. And maybe that's all you say the entire meeting. You know, be a voyeur for the first meeting. See if it's right for you.
Yeah. And I RSVP, I email back. So when somebody RSVPs, I get a little email. It goes ding. And it says Bob from Toronto. And here's his email and here's his cell phone number. And I email every person back and say, hey, I'm Mike. Here's what we're about. Again, CBD oil and kumbaya. And I also then give them my cell phone number and say, hey, if in between now and next Tuesday, you want to reach out and connect, again, I'll support you the best way I'm able. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to always be available to take their call, but I just say I'll do what I'm able because I know that it sucks. And so it really is. And many men are surprised by that personal effort.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. And I think that helps them lower their guard when they realize that there are actually people behind that little electronic RSVP, when they realize that there's somebody who wants to help.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're like, oh, I didn't expect a person. That's just another way. Know that if you do, I'm here to help you, guy. Like, just get past that hesitancy, past that fear, past that maybe skepticism. Really, there's no angle to this other than just trying to help.
I think that it is a wonderful, wonderful option for people. We will make sure that the direct link to that calendar is in the show notes. So it is as easy as possible for all of our guys to go click and join. Before you leave us, I want to bring up this conversation to more of an uplifting note, because we have talked a lot about how hard this process is, and it is hard, but can you give us a little light at the end of the tunnel? Your divorce is over now. Are you a happier person? Yeah, there is. Should our male listeners hold on? Is what I'm asking.
Oh my gosh, yes, and then that's part of it too. Yeah, it's not like all doom and gloom, and it's not all hard, and it's not all suffering. Does it suck? Yep, sure does. And is the world ending? No, I don't think so. But we can emerge from it in a healthier, better place. I can emerge from it in a better, healthier place. I had to burn it all down first to be able to get there, but that's just how it goes. I am beyond like lightning struck. I'm in a blended family with Kelly and her kids. So we have five kids in high school. There's a whole ton of hope beyond it. Just beyond fortunate that I stumbled upon somebody who I actually knew in a previous life. Neither of us knew that we were divorced until we happened to just see each other on a dating app, actually. She's like, hey, you're divorced. I'm like, you're divorced? Like, that didn't come across on Facebook. None of it did. But between the, again, I have three boys all in high school. She has two in high school. And so, there can be a happily ever after. Absolutely.
I'm so glad you shared that with us, because thank you for giving us a tidbit about your personal life, because I think for people listening, that does mean something. And that does help people to hear like, okay, he did it. He's on the other side. He's okay. And he's happy and his kids are okay. And we're all going to be okay. And guys, that is exactly why Morgan and I do this show. So Mike, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. And I hope that we bring you dozens and dozens of men ready to bang on those bongo drums with you and buy your snake oil.
Exactly. It's been an absolute pleasure, Andrea and Morgan. Thank you so much for giving me the chance to share just a little bit. And click the link.
All righty. Well,
okay.
Here we are, helping men around the world.
That's right. With bongos and ayahuasca and whatever else somebody may need.
That's right. So last week on the show, we talked about whether or not, it's not whether or not you should change your last name. It was just discussing the fact that it's something that a lot of people think about. And we basically told all of our listeners that it's not something that you have to do right away. But then we also asked, like, where are you guys at on this? Is this something that you've thought about? And we got a ton of responses, mainly over on our Instagram. So I was thinking that today in our fan mail segment that we share some of these.
Okay, let's see which Nigerian prince DM'd us today.
If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
This is fan mail.
What do you think?
I love it. I was actually so shocked because we thought of this episode and it must have struck a chord because the amount of comments that we got was just insane. One that I like was this one where they say, everyone has different reasons for their decisions. All valid, all understandable. Me, I can't wait to get rid of that last name. Good riddance.
Right.
Kind of what we talked about, right?
I mean, it's true. But then we also had a lot of people, like this one said, you know, I'm not changing it. I want my daughter and I to have the same last name.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. You know, like everyone's another person from the opposite angle said, I hate hearing my last name. Like I'm not married. So I think if I go back to my maiden name, it won't be so bad. But then the question remains of having a different last name as your kids. So I feel like it's a loss either way. So like, that's someone who's like feeling torn and also feels like it's a lose-lose. And I, maybe we should address that for a minute. Because I don't want anyone to feel like they're sitting in a lose-lose situation. Because that's not, it's not very empowering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that.
Yeah. Well, here's a win. Here's a win. Because one of our listeners said this, and it's actually kind of made me chuckle because it's true. She, I think it's a she. She says, I got my married name. So much easier. Not looking for more work, i.e. password or passport, driver's license, etc. Also a lot less questions from people. So I guess that could be the silver lining, right? You're not going to take on more work if you just keep the name.
I think that you have to weigh how you are personally feeling about this.
Yes.
I think that if it's making you cringe to have this last name as your ex, then I think you change your name. You handle everything else. If it's not making you cringe and it's not that big of a deal to you, then keep the last name. You know, like, I think you kind of just have to like weigh out here, like, how are you feeling? And I know a lot of people are concerned about the kids, and I think that that's valid. But, you know, like, I mean, I shared this when we recorded the episode last week. I never had my husband's last name. I always kept my name. So my kids and I always had different last names. And guess what? They still know that I'm their mom. They do.
Yep.
They still know. Yep. I have to wear a name tag sometimes, but they still know. There's not a question. There's not an issue like in school or anything like that. So I think everyone has to do what's right for them, but we're glad that you all are talking about it. And the biggest thing is don't feel like you have to rush into making this decision.
Yep, I agree. So the way that I make decisions, and I always tell my clients this too, is trust your gut. And if you don't have a gut that's kind of telling you which way to go, sit on it. There is no rush. There is no rush. And when the time is right and you know what you want to do, then you can do it. But there, you don't need another decision on your plate right now if that's not something that you absolutely are 100% sure of what to do. So
hearing the word gut is triggering me right now, because if I have to be in front of one more doctor who's going to be talking about my gut health, all of the sickness I've got.
Oh God.
But yes, go with the positive gut. Never mind my gut. You want nothing to do with my gut right now.
Totally. Totally. All right. So listen, thank you so much for listening. And remember, we know this is hard. This is draining. Sometimes it's day by day. And as Andrea and I say, sometimes it's hour by hour. We get it.
But that's exactly why we are here. We're here to support you on the good days. We're here to support you on the bad days. We are here to support you on the absolutely horrible days, every single day of the week. We got you. You're going to have moments where you stumble. That's okay. You're just going to get right back up. You're going to make mistakes. That's also okay. Our job is to help you not suck at getting divorced. And the only way you suck at getting divorced is if you don't ask for help in any way. So the fact that you are even listening to this show and you're hearing our words right now means that you're taking steps towards having the healthiest divorce possible. So good on you.
It does. It looks good on you. And listen, if you like our episodes or even just our podcast in general, please rate and review us. We love to see it. And if you have any questions, feel free to send us a message. We like reading these messages.
There are links to all of our social channels in the show notes. So please go follow us on Instagram. We also, as of last week, we now have a private Facebook community. So if you're looking for more support, there'll be a link in the show notes to join our private Facebook community, as well as our private community over on Patreon, where you can listen to all of our episodes in the most discreet manner possible. And you also get access to many bonus episodes that do not get published publicly. So many ways that we are trying to give you guys every ounce of community and support and guidance that you need.
Exactly. So listen, remember, day by day, it's a marathon. This is not a sprint. And just like, you know, our guest today touched on it, there's no shortcuts. So we hope that you enjoyed our episode. And if you did, share it, like us, review us, and remember this. You've got this, and we've got you.